The listening comprehension exam has two parts. You will hear each part twice. For each part of the exam, there will be time for you to look through the sentences and time for you to check your answers. Now turn to part one. Read the instructions. You have 2 minutes to read the sentences. Extract zero.
What is the perfect diet? I suppose there's no such thing really, but recently we've seen in the news that eating fruit and veg seems to make little difference for cancer risk, that white bread can double your chances of a heart attack, but eating nuts can cut your risk of Alzheimer's. Joining us now from London to help us untangle the mess of diet messages is best-selling author on health and nutrition, Patrick Holford. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
Now, many surveys have come out over the years and on food and diets, but the one, I think, which certainly surprised me most was this announcement about fruit and vegetables and cancer, because it seemed to fly in the face of what we'd believed for many years. Remind us about...
Extract 1.
E-books, says Jason Epstein, are on the verge of utterly transforming publishing, a business he has worked in for more than half a century. It's a mistake to assume that at this point, an e-book should necessarily cost less than the printed version of a book.
There's a serious misunderstanding there, because the publishing companies do today exist, and they do have all that overhead, and they have to pay for it. And so that has to be figured into the cost of an electronic book. So it's misleading to think that just because there's no physical book that the costs all disappear. They don't.
A revolution may be underway, but it's by no means complete. One person who certainly doesn't see the sense in higher e-book prices is 25-year-old Chris Dannon. Dannon is sympathetic to publishing's dilemma, but he says they need to leave their old business model behind.
They should be pushing for people to convert to the new medium, but they have to get people used to the idea of buying and reading electronically simply because that's more profitable.
Dannon says publishers should be finding ways to make it easier, not harder, to buy electronic books.
If you're able to get your books in front of more people.
Extract 2.
Yeah, I was listening to you talking about Phil Boyle.
Yep.
And I don't want to speak on behalf of Phil Boyle, but I have...
Let's just remind people who Dr. Phil Boyle is. He's a man described as a miracle worker who's helped hundreds of couples to have children. He's in the papers today over a controversy surrounding a moral code that he attaches to whether or not he will treat you for infertility. You have to be married. Okay, so that's obviously got a lot of attention this morning. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah, he's... I'm not an expert on the background of how he got involved or anything. I am, as you can probably hear in the background...
A mother.
A mother after much trouble, and it was part of the ethos is that the ideal circumstance for children to be born into is a married setup. He's not a religious nut in Galway, you know, preaching to people that they have to be married first, and I really feel that that's how you made him sound. I would urge you just to not make assumptions.
No, but do you honestly think, Niamh, I feel very strongly about this, that all women are entitled, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever their status, whatever their colour, their creed or their religion, are entitled to this treatment. Do you honestly think I would change my mind by some sort of Catholic mumbo-jumbo being presented to me on a website?
Extract 3.
Karen, good afternoon. You're nervous because you were in a jury. Please don't mention the case. That's
okay.
Not allowed. But you say you're horrified to discover that the accused could get your address.
I didn't realise that. It's just finished quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, I was shaking. I was so upset when I heard that. At no point, as that girl said earlier, were we told that the accused would have access to
no,
the
could,
details of our name.
In fairness, could have.
Could have, yeah.
Could have.
But we were never told that at any stage. And in fact, we discussed it one day at lunch. Can you imagine if this person could get access to where we lived? Because it was a criminal case. And I'm absolutely shocked to find out. And really, really now, I could not believe it when I heard it in the car. A short while ago.
And you say the jury at lunchtime did discuss their own personal safety.
No, it just came up because there was something in the paper about someone who had got access to somebody's details, and
yeah,
we just thought this was a one-off. And we were saying, God, can you imagine if that happened to us?
And what was the worry?
That they would have access to our details and what could happen.
Okay. How did you find the experience?
Well, I was very nerve-wracking. I thought it was a good experience because I'd never been called before, but it's not something I particularly wanted to do, but I felt I had to do it.
Yeah.
But since I heard that, you know, your caller earlier, I'm quite upset.
Well, don't overly worry because...
You know, but okay. I just think it should be something that people should be aware of.
But you saw? Did you see the article in the paper last week about the Brian Rattigan?
Extract 4.
To politics in Great Britain now, where last night TV audiences tuned in for a reality show Americans know as The Political Debate. Sounds a bit lively, with less than a month until parliamentary elections, the men who would be prime minister met for the first time in British history to debate on television. Justin Webb of the BBC joins us now to give his review. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Why, though, is having a debate on TV such a big deal? I mean, after all, your Prime Minister takes questions from Parliament every week on television, and it's a major free-for-all.
The House of Commons debate is very formulaic. In other words, what I'm saying to you is all a bit old-fashioned and out of touch. Television, on the other hand, is not old-fashioned and out of touch with the way people live their lives. Television is an unforgiving medium, isn't it? It goes very close on the face. You famously saw George Bush Sr. look at his watch, of which there's been a lot of talk in the last week or so in the run-up to this debate. In other words, it reveals people, and that's why people were so interested in seeing it. And that's what the reason why the British people were so fascinated by this debate, because it has the opportunity to open people up, even unfairly, actually, and give a new perspective on them.
Now listen again. Extract 0.
What is the perfect diet? I suppose there's no such thing, really. But recently we've seen in the news that eating fruit and veg seems to make little difference for cancer risk, that white bread can double your chances of a heart attack, but eating nuts can cut your risk of Alzheimer's. Joining us now from London to help us untangle the mess of diet messages is best-selling author on health and nutrition, Patrick Holford. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
Now, many surveys have come out over the years and on food and diets, but the one, I think, which certainly surprised me most was this announcement about fruit and vegetables and cancer, because it seemed to fly in the face of what we'd believed for many years. Remind us about...
Extract 1.
E-books, says Jason Epstein, are on the verge of utterly transforming publishing, a business he has worked in for more than half a century. It's a mistake to assume that at this point an e-book should necessarily cost less than the printed version of a book.
There's a serious misunderstanding there, because the publishing companies do today exist, and they do have all that overhead, and they have to pay for it. And so that has to be figured into the cost of an electronic book. So it's misleading to think that just because there's no physical book that the costs all disappear. They don't.
A revolution may be underway, but it's by no means complete. One person who certainly doesn't see the sense in higher e-book prices is 25-year-old Chris Dannon. Dannon is sympathetic to publishing's dilemma, but he says they need to leave their old business model behind.
They should be pushing for people to convert to the new medium, but they have to get people used to the idea of buying and reading electronically simply because that's more profitable.
Dannon says publishers should be finding ways to make it easier, not harder, to buy electronic books.
If you're able to get your books in front of more people.
Extract 2.
Yeah, I was listening to you talking about Phil Boyle.
Yep.
And I don't want to speak on behalf of Phil Boyle, but I have...
Let's just remind to people who Dr. Phil Boyle is. He's a man described as a miracle worker who's helped hundreds of couples to have children. He's in the papers today over a controversy surrounding... a moral code that he attaches to whether or not he will treat you for infertility. You have to be married. Okay, so that's obviously got a lot of attention this morning. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah, he's, I'm not an expert on the background of how he got involved or anything. I am, as you can probably hear in the background.
A mother.
a mother after much trouble, and it was part of the ethos is that the idea... ideal circumstance for children to be born into is a married setup. He's not a religious nut in Galway, you know, preaching to people that they have to be married first, and I really feel that that's how you made him sound. I would urge you just to not make assumptions.
No, but I have. But do you honestly think, Niamh? I feel very strongly about this, that all women are entitled, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever their status, whatever their colour, their creed, or their religion, are entitled to this treatment. Do you honestly think I would change my mind by some sort of Catholic mumbo jumbo being presented to me on a website?
Extract 3.
Karen, good afternoon. You're nervous because you were in a jury. Please don't mention the case. That's
okay.
Not allowed. But you say you're horrified to discover that the accused could get your address.
I didn't realise that. It's just finished quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, I was shaking. I was so upset when I heard that. At no point, as that girl said earlier, were we told... that the accused would have access to
now,
the
could,
details of our name.
In fairness, could have.
Could have, yeah.
Could have.
But we were never told that at any stage. And in fact, we discussed it one day at lunch. Can you imagine if this person could get access to where we lived? Because it was a criminal case. And I'm absolutely shocked to find out. And really, really now, I could not believe it when I heard it in the car. A short while ago.
And you say the jury at lunchtime did discuss their own personal safety.
No, it just came up because there was something in the paper about someone who had got access to somebody's details, and we just thought this was a one-off. And we were saying, God, can you imagine if that happened to us?
And what was the worry?
That they would have access to our details and what could happen.
Okay. How did you find the experience?
Well, I was very nerve-wracking. I thought it was a good experience because I'd never been called before, which is not something I particularly wanted to do, but I felt I had to do it.
Yeah.
But since I heard that, you know, your caller earlier, I'm quite upset.
Well, don't overly worry because...
You know, but okay. I just think it should be something that people should be aware of.
But did you see the article in the paper last week about the Brian Rattigan?
Extract 4.
To politics in Great Britain now, where last night TV audiences tuned in for a reality show Americans know as The Political Debate. Sounds a bit lively, with less than a month until parliamentary elections, the men who would be prime minister met for the first time in British history to debate on television. Justin Webb of the BBC joins us now to give his review. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Why, though, is having a debate on TV such a big deal? I mean, after all, your prime minister takes questions from Parliament every week on television, and it's a major free-for-all.
The House of Commons debate is very formulaic. In other words, what I'm saying to you is all a bit old-fashioned and out of touch. Television, on the other hand, is not old-fashioned and out of touch with the way people live their lives. Television is an unforgiving medium, isn't it? It goes very close on the face. You famously saw George Bush Sr. look at his watch, of which there's been a lot of talk in the last week or so in the run-up to this debate. In other words, it reveals people, and that's why people were so interested in seeing it. And that's what the reason why the British people were so fascinated by this debate, because it has the opportunity to open people up, even unfairly, actually, and give a new perspective on them.
This is the end of part 1.